I'm Seth.
And this is Eden, and you're listening to
Communities.
It's a podcast where we share with you the odd,
the interesting,
and the unusual in Indiana. So for our first episode, we thought we'd start a little small.
This is the Miniature House Museum.
We're taking you to a small building on the corner of Main Street and First Avenue.
Right across from Greek's Pizzeria.
Through the wide front windows, passersby can see what look like basically just dollhouses. But after a chat with Elaine Mancini, who works at the Museum of Miniature Houses, we found out that these tiny houses have sort of a bigger story behind them. Here's Elaine.
Incorporated in 1991 and opened to the public in August 1993. So we just had our 24th anniversary.
That's cool. And who founded it?
Three ladies, Susie Moffat, Suzanne Lanzoff, and Nancy Lesh. And they were all miniaturists who all did very different kinds of miniatures. And they heard about some woman who had a huge collection. She had been making miniatures for many decades when she passed away. No one knows what happened to her things. So they don't know if she had children or if they threw it out, it was put to auction. Nobody knows what happened to this huge collection. So Nancy, Susie, and Suzanne said, we don't want that to happen to our things. We want to share them. And that was the impetus for founding a museum.
So we did a little bit of research and found out that miniature houses have actually been around for thousands of years. They've been found in crazy places like Egyptian tombs and stuff like that. When most people think of miniature houses, they think of like a toy for kids to play with or like a dollhouse. In the case of the collections at the Museum of Miniature Houses are not just dollhouses. They're an art form, meant to be seen, displayed, and enjoyed by all kinds of people, not just for kids to play with. The artist often puts hours of time and effort into making sure that all the furniture and accessories and everything inside the miniature house also reflects a specific time period or location. In a way, many of them help preserve or bring history to life through art.
It varies a lot. It all depends on what you're trying to make. Obviously, if you're trying to make a house, that's a lot more costly and time-consuming than making a room box, which is a single setting. Most miniatures differ from dollhouses in that they're not meant to be played with. They're meant to be looked at and shared, but you can't touch these things. A lot of what's in there is very fragile. And they have to adhere to a certain scale. So once you decide on the scale, let's say 1 inch to 1 foot, then everything in that house has to adhere to that scale. And also, if you choose a historical period, then everything in that house has to adhere to that period, whether it's the 1920s or Victorian or whatever it is. So there are constraints on a miniaturist that there are not on some other kind of hobbyist or a dollhouse maker. Nancy Lesh, who made a replica of her childhood home, said she stopped counting after 900 hours.
Wow.
And Suzanne Lanzoff, another of our co-founders, made a Victoria. It's called Victoria's Choice, and it's actually a kit. The house itself is a kit, and it's completely furnished. It has dolls in it, all kinds of activities going on in the house. And that took her 6 years.
Even though the museum's known for its miniature houses, it actually displays other kinds of art that are miniature, too.
Well, we're very proud of being where we are in the Art and Design District and being a good community partner. So I reached out to Carmel High School, and Jen Bupp, your chair of the art department, was extremely receptive to having us host the winners of the Monumental exhibit. And this is a project that she gives her art students every year. She decides on the theme, such as cliches or song lyrics, and the students have to make something no bigger than 1 inch by 1 inch, and if it's three-dimensional, by 1 inch. And they're now put up at the high school, and the ones that are voted the best are then here at the museum on display for the public to see for about a month.
Elaine is able to use the museum as a way to get the community more involved in art.
We have events all the time. Every second and fourth Wednesday at noon, we have a series called Celebrations of Creativity and Craftsmanship. I came up with this idea because a lot of people are not necessarily interested in miniatures, or they wouldn't be drawn to the museum automatically. They think that there's nothing in here for them to see. So the museum is really about creativity and craftsmanship, not about miniatures. It's just that's the vehicle. So I have these performances or presentations by, again, locals. They're almost all local. Musicians, songwriters, singers, steel drum players, storytellers, the first viola of the Indianapolis Chamber Orchestra, the Poet Laureate of Indiana. We've had just tremendous talent in here. And that is free to the public. The idea, again, being get in here, enjoy that particular performance or presentation, and then you're introduced to the miniatures, and almost everybody comes back so that they can look at it more in more depth. So it's at lunchtime, and everyone's invited to bring his or her lunch as well. And the next one is September 13th, which is Sylvia Gray, who is a surface artist who specializes in hand-painting silk scarves.
For WHJE Radio, this has been Communities.